This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all road, freak show, something to see. Got them lined up and waiting, taking bullets for me. I'm a man truck. I'm trucking down a one-way street. You better move, dance. My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
What's going on, St. Louis? Welcome into the Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, Kevin Essen, 5-9TheFan.com. TJ Moe, Bob Ramsey, Matt Rocchio. We are here at 909 Public House out in Wentzville, Missouri. Cam Jansen en route. In fact, I see him here. He's wearing flannel and a vest. Have you ever seen Cam in a flannel button-down with a vest? If you have not, go listen to his KMOX podcast with Tom Ackerman, and I assume he would be wearing the same thing. That is where he came from. And is coming right into the 909 Public House right this moment. This place is spectacular. I, boys, just ordered some tater tots. I ordered some gumbo, and I ordered some devil eggs.
That's what'd a you strong guys get? You get all over it.
Yeah.
That's a strong look that Kate picked out for him today.
Yeah. How about that, Cam? Welcome to the show, Cam. Good to see you. Also, we were commenting on your attire today.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen you in anything like
hot.
This.
I look pretty
you
hot.
You do. And
you, is what it is.
This would be on the don't you have video on the KMOX podcast?
Yeah, I usually see
video, and that's what you're wearing.
It'll blow up because of my outfit.
Yeah, if anybody wants to go see it, go check out the podcast.
Yeah,
there.
So I'll retweet it here pretty soon.
All right, good. Good, good, good. Well, welcome into the show, everybody. We did not read any texts yesterday. Most of them would have probably been racially laced tirades anyway.
So we did get one good one. I wanted to read, but I didn't get in, which was somebody texted in and said, this show is the blind leading the blinder. And I thought that was...
Oh, that's good.
Honestly, I think we honestly need to tag that for either on our Twitter account or a T-shirt.
I had my popcorn ready.
I think that was the best description I've ever heard for the show. The blind leading the blinder. Fantastic. I think it was Danny Tanner.
Pretty funny.
That is well done. Anyway, we will read text today because I don't assume we'll be having any... deep racial discussions, unless you guys want to.
Then, I like talking about it.
And then why not? I very much enjoyed
nothing
that.
Nothing bad could happen from
that discussion. I didn't care for the ending much. If the ending is just that, go away. But outside of that, I think these are fun discussions to have. Okay, a few news and notes before we get started here. Clemson defensive tackle All-American Dexter Lawrence is officially out. His appeal has failed. He will not play in the NCAA title game. That along with tight end Braden Galloway and O-lineman Zach Gila. I'm not sure how you say his name. But anyway, they will be out versus Alabama. They all failed a PED test, an NCAA test. Typically.
What is that? The test that they failed, what is it exactly?
Urine test.
Oh, the piss test.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That.
So ooh. It was tested PEDs and such. And that is an All-American defensive tackle who, this is a pretty incredible stat. When he was in the game, the opposition averaged 2.1 yards per rush. When he was out of the game, it was like 3.6.
Wow.
Yeah. So there is a significant difference there when you are talking about an Alabama rushing offense that can pretty much do whatever they want to. So good luck to you, Clemson. I will also be taking Alabama. I think the line's down to about 6 now. It was out at double digits most of the year when you were doing future bets. Down around 6 in this moment. So. Yeah, pretty good stuff there. All right, let's open up with some blues. Would you like to do that, boys? We have Zach Sanford officially getting the call up today. Now he, in all likelihood, will not be in the lineup. I believe they are probably going to go with 7 defensemen as Carl Gunnarsson, who missed 20 games, is going to be back tonight. They will rotate the 7. I know that's Cam's favorite thing that they do.
Oh,
Vladimir
God.
Tarasenko is sick, a little bit under the weather.
He's got the sniffles.
Yeah, had a maintenance day yesterday, whatever that means. I've never been a fan of those.
Nice.
And also
it's a buzzword.
Yeah, also sick today. Antonio Brown had a maintenance day, too, right before he threw that football at Big Ben's head.
Exactly. Maintenance days are usually you're just you're banged up a little bit, but I guess he was under the weather, and I don't think he's going to be playing tonight. He didn't skate this morning. Zach Sanford is on his way, but I do think they're going to dress 7D. Is that a good thing? Nah, not really. I mean, if you're a defenseman, your rotation gets screwed up. And as a forward, the lines are convoluted, they're jumbled up. And maybe the bright spot is maybe you could find other chemistry because the lines are bumbled up, and maybe you could find a lightning in a rod because
something
might click. And that's always
But it's fun more accidental than intentionally.
Yes, exactly. And you know, for me, I hated it because I was obviously the guy sitting out. They're dressing 7D, and I look on the board. I'm like, okay, yep, my name's not up. Okay, see you guys later. Have a good game. Yeah. But in this case, they got to get Gunny in there. And they can't take any of these big bodies out like a Bertuzza or anybody like that because, well, you're going against Tom Wilson and Alexander Ovechkin, and somebody needs to clear their ass.
So probably Oscar Sundquist, after being so upset earlier in the year, probably go one-on-one with Tom Wilson there, huh?
Well, I think there's going to be some fireworks right off the bat. I'm predicting that. And if there's not, then I'm probably going to shake my head and throw a text at Patty. But whatever the case is, I think we talked today.
Did that, Cam, they blew out the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
Shen
mm-hmm.
took somebody off the faceoff, and then not 1 minute later.
Look.
Or was it Maroon first? Whichever one. Anyway, they both went within the first minute.
Look, this has been building up for a long time. We all remember what Tom Wilson did to Oscar Sundquist, that cheap back check hit that even I didn't like, and I'm old school as you can get. That was nasty. Yeah. Somebody needs to step up. It's been a long, long time. Tom Wilson, if you get him off the ice, it's always a good thing. Whether he wins the fight or not, you're getting him off the ice. And the hardest thing for Patty right now is the build-up to this. Tom Wilson just buckled a 6'9" kid from Oleksiak from Pittsburgh Penguins, caught him with a right hook, knocked him out.
Wow.
Out, but probably cracked his orbital bone. That's never a fun thing to see leading up to this when you know you got to go buckets off perhaps with this cat center ice in front of your family.
Yeah.
So it's in the back of his head. Is he going to sleep this afternoon? Probably not. I never did. Your pregame nap, Tom Wilson's in your mind like you can't believe. So, Patty, go out there, suck it up, first shift. The first thing I'd do, if you could, and we and TJ were talking about this soon, I even told Patty, I go, if there's a way for you to get out there, there's no whistle, it's your first shift, and you see Tom coming up the ice, and he's getting that puck off the wall from the breakout pass, catch him with his head down. Even if you take a penalty on him.
Oh, that'd be ideal.
Catch him and let him get up, and then you get
the
jump on
him. Go watch
the
Reaver film. Reaver did it twice in the same game and killed him.
He's got his head down all the time. He's got the puck. Tom Wilson has a puck all the time. If you catch him with his head down, and then he gets up and tries to fight you, and you get the jump on him, even if it's a draw, you are going to be put up on a pedestal, Pat Maroon. He is the bully of the playground. Go fight that bully, whether you win or not. I don't care if it's a draw. I don't care if he even pumps you a little bit. Go step up to the plate and answer the bell against this kid.
By the way, he's not going away anytime soon, boys. He's 24 years old. This Tom Wilson cat is going to be.
He's getting 20 minutes a night.
In your grill for the next 10 years.
Penalty kill, power
Good luck.
Play. Good God.
Yeah. So, anyway, I would like to see that out of Patty. And I think there's something to a guy who's having a down year from, and maybe not. Maybe this is who it is. This isn't the Blues, who the Blues hoped he'd be, right? He looked really good when he was playing with Connor McDavid. Maybe that's not who he is in reality. He's not scoring too many goals. He looks a step slower this year. But something that can keep you on the ice is being the guy that's willing to step up.
That's the way it is. Patty, if pucks aren't going in, I know you got your lines playing pretty decent right now. You're getting good minutes. It's fine. You're hemming other teams in the zone, although you're not scoring. But this is a way to keep you in the lineup. This is a way to still stay relevant and bring that extra aspect because no one else is going to do it. Bertuzzo, he's not going to step up and fight Tom Wilson. It's just, and not to mention, I don't know if I want
to. I don't know. Zach Sanford's coming back tonight.
Well, they might fight in practice. But, no, I think Bertuzzo and Joel Edmondson, do I want them to step up to the plate here? No, yeah, but I'd rather have Patty be off the ice for 5 minutes than Robert Bertuzzo. We need Bertuzzo standing in front of that Alexander Ovechkin shot from the left hash marks there that he's going to be able to he's going to be doing on the power play. Bertuzzo is going to be the guy going out and blocking those kind of shots. Keep Bert on the ice. Patty, go take care of business.
Simple you know, I was reading Cujo's book, and I finished it. It's really terrific. And you don't hear guys, goalies, talk about it much, about other things out on the ice. And he talked about how much he really admired guys that would go out and stick up for their teammates, you know, finding ways to get involved, if that's the word to use.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get involved and that were relentless in doing so, and the admiration that the club has for those kind of guys. It was really – his thoughts on it were really, really interesting.
Yeah, he grew up in an orphan. Well, we'll get into that maybe later. But
you're in the book, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
In Cujo's book?
Yeah.
Did you write it, Cam? Did you have your own chapter?
Really?
Yeah, I think a paragraph, maybe.
Oh, I'll take that. What did
they say? Paraphrase a paragraph.
I think I think one of his teammates was going to fight you, and he had mentioned what a tough guy you were, and that it was a big deal.
I gave that to my dad for Christmas. Now I know he didn't read it yet, because he would have came right over. Oh, my God. I know you're listening right now, Dad, too, so you better get on that book. That's pretty cool.
Cam, he mentioned you with respect, and cool. His teammate was going to fight. I can't remember the name, or you'd know the fight, but.
Yeah, I don't know who he was playing for, probably Toronto at the time.
Yeah, I think it was.
You were in New York?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember. In Jersey.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, when you were in Jersey and he was in Toronto. Sorry, I'll look it up and find it.
Now you got me interested.
There is something to getting to a new place, especially your hometown. Cam knows a lot about this. And trying to earn respect right away. And when you can't do it through your play, and I don't know that Patty really has, amongst his teammates. Forget the fans. You know, you'll get respect or
well, that comes hand in hand.
Based on, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But your teammates can really respect you if this is the type of thing you're willing to do.
Yeah.
And you know, it is. I talked to him.
And you are desperate. As a guy, first year anyway, you are desperate to earn that respect.
You need that right now, Patty. And it's fine. And look, there's not many guys you're going to have to do this with. I mean, seriously. There's a handful maybe in the league right now. And he's a big bully on the playground. And God almighty, you go there and you catch him with one. Holy
And after
cow.
What he did to Sundquist, somebody has to
you
do
have
it.
To yeah. do
there
this.
Is there is no just like letting that slide.
And it's not like I'm like forcing I just talked to him. He's like, I know, I got this. He's like, I know. I go, all right, I know. I love you, buddy. Just go do your thing. I know what it's like. I know it's in the back of your head. I know you're not sleeping.
Right.
I get it. It's,
yeah, right.
it's stressful.
Don't screw this up, Patty.
It's stressful. It's stressful. You know, you're at home. People are watching. Your son's watching. The guy just knocked out a 6'8" monster on – geez Louise. So it's a tough one. But you got to go take care of business, and that is the bottom line.
You know, I was looking at they're going to have to find a way to score some goals.
They got to do that.
Three out of their last five games, they've scored one goal or less. 10 out of their last 22, it's one or less.
It's not good.
Well, so, the numbers on goals per shots taken, and especially when you include shots that miss the net.
Mm-hmm.
Attempts.
79 last game against the Rangers. That's ridiculous. I like that. That means you're hemming them in the zone, but good God almighty, we need to finish Jaden Schwartz. Find that corner, bear down Alexander Steen, Vladimir Tarasenko, who's not going to be in the lineup tonight. So, Schwartzy, I'm looking at you tonight. Like, Schwartzy, we need you to put the puck
in. And O'Reilly. In O'Reilly has to
him
take
too.
That on because he's one of the guys, while it's not his best attribute, he's a great all-around center. He's one of the guys right now and one of the few on the roster that can find the back of the net.
Yeah, look what him and David Perron did the other day. That little give-and-go play. That's a set play right there. David Perron's actually playing really good hockey lately, man.
Yes.
He is.
But he shouldn't be counted on to score either.
No, but somebody needs to be counted on to score.
I'm with you, but he is – we talked about this before the season. He's the guy that gets – he does what Steen should be able to do a little more of, and that's get in the corners and center the puck.
God,
you watched him do it with O'Reilly.
Harry's one
great.
Of the best passers on the team. That is a simple fact. He is one of the best passers on the team. And if he has that mindset where he's winning battles in the corner and he does this stuff here and there. But I tell you what, our big dogs, Jaden Schwartz, Alexander Steen, guys are getting top minutes. Put the puck, find the back of the net. You have to do it. We have to have finishers on this team or else we're gonna have all these other goalies just look fantastic. And I know it's King Henry Lundqvist, but boy, we made him look good.
We will get back to the Blues here shortly. We have some breaking news.
We don't have very many scoops on this station. And this is going out to everybody, so it's not exclusive. I just happened to find it first. This is official statement from St. Louis University. St. Louis University freshman Cartier Gordon has been granted a release from his scholarship and is no longer a member of the Billikens men's basketball team. This is in quotes. Cartier requested and was granted his release. SLU head coach Travis Ford said, "We appreciate his time at SLU. We support his decision and wish him well in his future endeavors." And then it gives his stats. And so that's going to go out to all the media and I'm sure on Twitter and Facebook and all the platforms. And we can get more into that. I just wanted to – we rarely get things first.
Yeah.
I thought I'd jump in and throw it and we can talk about it in depth later.
It'll be on Twitter if you tweet it out right now. Go ahead, Raymer.
It's all right. It's their release. That would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
Would it? You retweeted that?
I don't know.
Oh,
it's their thing.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that.
It wouldn't
be a
retweet. That wasn't on Twitter. You got it privately.
Don't do that then.
Right. So you say, well, why did you say it? Because they said go ahead.
Well, okay.
They said go ahead because it's going out in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Right. There you go. So officially granted his release. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And it is officially out, according to David Solomon. Thank you, David. We talked about that yesterday. It's a really bad look in today's game not to grant a release for things. And so we'll see if they release him to other schools, certainly, which I don't know how all that works. But usually they have a list that you can or can't and how all that comes up. I think they would be best served saying, go ahead.
go wherever you got to go.
Wherever you need to go.
Do what you got to do.
And it is, we have, we see this happening in anything. And this is eventually why student athletes are going to be paid. Society changes their views. At one point, gay marriage wasn't allowed. Society shifted to a place where most people now look and say, why not? Just, you know, society has changed their mind. Go back to one of the.
There are some holdouts, but for the majority, the worst is, I don't care.
Right, exactly. Right, and you can go back to as recently as 2012, some big proponents for it today, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, were against it. And they are on record as saying, I believe marriage between a man and a woman. And today, society has shifted to a place where we say, no, that's okay. That's what's happening with the release here with student-athletes, right? Society has shifted to a place where we say, well, why not? Let's think about this and forget what's always been, and let's talk about what should be.
Yeah, it's the flip side of that when it comes to college athletics and transferring, and it's more and more and more all the time, including in that is the graduate transfer rule. And it's the nature of college athletics now. That's just the nature of it. I think folks who don't like it and kind of this trend is rather than fight through it, and I believe this. Here's my disclaimer for what I'm about to say, is that I think kids should be happy. Find a way to be happy. But there's also something to be said for perseverance and grinding through those kinds of things. I think this can be, and not particular to this situation, but the idea of transfer, all the transfers. It's almost a modern, it is a version, I think, of, it's an athletic version of snowflakes. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be able to do X, Y, Z. Now you're telling me I can't.
You promised me 30 minutes a night.
You
said I'd probably get nine blocks a game.
I deserve this.
And now you tell me because the senior's ahead of me? Now, this doesn't apply to Cartier.
Sure.
He was playing.
Right.
But I'm just saying, wait a minute. You said I was going to get an opportunity to play. Yeah, you're getting an opportunity. You haven't earned it yet. Well, and in athletics, I don't care whether it's hockey or football or basketball. Some of these great kids, they get whatever they want because they're so good. Because they're so good. Again, doesn't necessarily apply to the Billiken situation, but my only thing that concerns me every time the coach, TJ, go run the stadium.
Yep.
No, I'm transferring.
And
that's where I fear it's leading.
Yes, so I hear you on that, man.
I've always found this to be interesting. Kurt Warner took over for Trent Green. And then Trent Green left and nobody said a word. Why? Because Kurt Warner's the guy now. He left. He had to go get a job somewhere else.
That's completely different.
Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Tom Brady came in, has never looked back. Drew Bledsoe went to the Bills, their rival in the division, and nobody said anything. Just go ahead and leave. But for college kids, for some reason, we have it in our heads that, well, they can't leave. Are you kidding? You're a quitter now. But pro athletes leave and go to a different team.
It's a great point, and that's why it really is. And I offered that disclaimer because to paint it with a broad brush is not—it's not realistic.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of things that go into it, and so you do like kids, though. You would like them to persevere when times are tough. But sometimes that there's not a value to it. Here's the other thing that is in a kid's favor when he wants to transfer is the clock.
Yeah.
The clock is running. You only get 4 years anyway. And if you say, this is not what I thought it was going to be, and I want to achieve XYZ goals in the 4 years that I have to do so, this doesn't appear now to be the best opportunity for me to achieve those goals. I think I really believe that. Whether it's choosing a college, you know, people get so caught up into where a guy should go and all those things. Go to the place that makes you happy. Go to the place that makes you happy.
Exactly.
And will allow you to be who you want to be.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
interesting. The logic, and I get why. So if you start from scratch, we may end up at a different place. But you mentioned the time of all of this, which is why the Kelly Bryant thing, if I'm his dad, I instruct him to do exactly what he did. You lost your spot. Do you want to transfer and go play on a team that offers you a chance to play? Because at quarterback, more than any other position, like a wide receiver, you may lose your spot, but kind of not really. You're just not the number one guy anymore. You're still going to play a lot. You're going to go in and out. They may move you to slot receiver, whatever that looks like. At quarterback, you're out, right? They're going to take every snap of every game. But if we could go back and reevaluate, it makes very little sense to get mad at the kid who is on a clock, who wants to leave, and not get mad at the adult who can play for 10 years. But that's exactly what we do.
Right.
The adult, wouldn't it make more sense to be able to say that, well, look, if Drew Bledsoe was really a team guy and he'd be a Patriots guy, he'd just stay there and back it up. He's getting paid anyway. There's no time clock. Everything's okay. But he leaves and we don't care. But the kid who only has 2 years left to play for the rest of his life probably, we get mad at him because he wants to go finish his 2 years somewhere.
And now specific to the St. Louis U situation is, keep in mind, he's still a teenager.
Yeah.
And making decisions isn't always the easiest thing to do when you're a teenager. And so I think – so. I think if I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like you're saying, and I would agree with this, it's okay for Billiken fans to be disappointed.
Absolutely.
Because he was a key part of the team you had hoped it was going to have a great season. I think that's reasonable to be angry at a guy, even if it turns out that you disagree with his reasons for leaving. Even if it comes out and most people might say, well, that's wrong. He shouldn't have done that. It doesn't really serve anything to be angry about it.
You just say,
just like in Hoosiers, right? My team's on the floor.
Wait, what'd you call me? Oh, yeah, the movie. Okay, I got you.
Coaches, and that's the way coaches have to look at it, and that's the way most of them do. I can only coach the guys who are here.
That's right.
If you're always hurt, and you're in the trainer's room, you know, he's hell when he's well, but he's always hurt. Ooh. I can't coach that guy.
Yeah.
When you're ready, come back, and I'll coach you. But I got to try to win tonight's game.
Did he transfer from his high school, too?
Yeah, he transferred during high school once.
Now, Vianney, they usually – this it's not a great disclaimer because I don't know any of the details, but transferring from a private school to a public school, because there are so many reasons – is typically less frowned upon, right? Or vice versa, right? When you go from the private sector to the public sector.
Yeah, because there's not the issue with, did you actually move houses? Like, how are you going across districts?
Right.
There's not the issue because everyone, you can go to, because if you're going from Vianney to Webster, the assumption there is you're living in Webster and anyone can go to Vianney from anywhere.
Well, and we can always say, well, maybe it was a money thing. You know, there's always.
Or maybe you wanted to talk to girls.
There's excuses. Yeah,
that's also a big thing.
Right.
There's
tuition.
I can understand that.
There's real
excuses
there. I was
going to go to
Vianney.
Were you really?
Yep. So my dad told me it was all boys. I'm like,
I got to wear a uniform?
What? Something Raymer said a little bit earlier. I wish we rhymed more things in sports nowadays.
What? Which we what?
You had some phrase that was a rhyming phrase, and I'm like, we don't rhyme things in sports anymore.
When he's well, he's hell.
Yeah, when he's well, he's hell. I was like, we don't rhyme things in sports anymore. I think
you
we should do
that.
I
like that. I'm writing
that
down.
I feel like it's a little bit old school, but I want it.
I got to draw the line at haiku, though. No haiku.
I believe that was a haiku.
Yeah, so, look, Cartier Gordon, here is where I would make an exception, because I do agree with what you're saying. Fans mm-hmm. can be disappointed. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be angry. But if I'm his teammate, I'm angry as hell. Do not abandon me in the middle of the game, Emmanuel Hall. Right? Do not abandon me in the middle of the week, Antonio Brown. And Cartier Gordon, do not abandon me in the middle of our season.
Mm-hmm.
And I am your teammate. I've been out here running sprints with you. I do think there's an exception. People have brought up to me different times. We talk about injuries and can guys play through it or not. Well, the people that I think have a license to be upset, and their opinion doesn't matter any more than anybody else's, is the people who are out there playing through the injuries.
That it directly affects.
And they're doing it, right? If you are playing through an injury yourself and then you get upset with a guy who's not playing through an injury, you have a license to say, well, I would, because you're actually doing it, right? The fans who would say, put your body on the line. What? Where's your body on the line? You know, like you have that argument. The guys who are bleeding and who did go through the miserable 2 days in the 110-degree heat where you couldn't see straight but you just kept running, mm-hmm. those guys have a license to say, who are you? Why do you think it's okay to abandon your team in the middle of the season? We have all promised to be here. We break down to Billikens every single day, and you said, see ya, I don't feel like being here anymore. That is something to have a license to be upset about.
Yeah, I hear you on that, man, big time.
Yeah, because you do, you know, at SLU they call it Team Blue. Everybody has their little thing to you know, talk about camaraderie,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we're part of a team. You know, we use family and all those stuff, going to battle, all those euphemisms to just say we've got to be in this together and be there for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that is, that's an issue that any kid who wants to leave has to deal with.
And I had guys transfer that I played with, but never a guy that was like in it with me. So I can't speak to that. There was like Blaine Gabbert didn't throw me the ball 1 year and transfer the next. You know, like James Franklin didn't throw the ball 1 year and transfer the next. Now he got injured a lot and whatever, but injuries are injuries.
Right.
You know, Henry Josey sat out a year because he had injured. Injuries are what they are. You know, it's like Henry couldn't walk because, you know, he had four surgeries before he'd come back. The injuries are one thing. But a guy just saying, yeah, fellas, I'm not
feeling it.
And not a guy. Like, there are guys who left. Ashton Glazer was our backup quarterback, and then he was our third-string quarterback. And then he transferred to Missouri State, and we're like, good for you, bro. That's what you need to do. You weren't going to play here. And he's still a buddy of mine. He's moving around, living in Springfield now. A really good dude that everybody liked. But that makes sense to transfer. But don't be throwing me the ball one day and the next day say, boys, I'm out. You're not catching the ball well enough. And coach kind of made me mad the other day. And see ya.
Yeah.
Like, Cartier Gordon is the player on the team with the highest ceiling. He's the guy that out there we watched. It was Hassan French had a crazy block. But so did Cartier Gordon. Same game.
Yeah.
We're talking about, and we're like, that's like high level, should be on SportsCenter type blocks.
Right.
So NBA you're watching block. A guy do that. This would be like Doriel Green Beckham coming in our freshman year, and we only won five games. And after game four, he says, our team kind of sucks.
I'm out.
You guys suck. I'm really good. I'll see you. I'm not interested. So I never had to experience that. But I'm telling you, it wouldn't have went over well.
No.
Not with me or any of my teammates.
Right. Right.
And basketball is a little bit different, and I don't know where the culture is today, but there is a time where that guy wouldn't have got out scot-free. Some guys have been roughing him up a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
Now, we're not interested in your health anymore. It doesn't matter to us.
No, we'll smack
get
you
the hell out.
Yeah. Now, that was probably not true during my time. I assume that you're going way back now. But also the transfer thing is, it's you talk to, I don't know if it's Jay Billis who's had a lot on this.
He does have a lot of thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And I think that transferring is well, it's just a part of life, and it's really become a huge part of recruiting as well. And the only other thing is there has to be some sort of I don't know if price is the right word, because what you don't want to ever allow is I only scored 2 points the other day. Coach yelled at me. I'm mad, and then be able to go play somewhere else the next game.
Yes, right.
So. So people get, you got to sit out and that's not right. Or now they're getting more and more of the waivers, to go ahead and play right away. I think you got to be real careful with that, because if you make it easy, then everyone will do it because it is easy. And I think the game will break down a little bit that way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I totally agree with you. I'd have to give it some more thought.
Yeah, I don't know where those parameters are, where that line should be.
Scoring 2 points, that's a career year for me. I'm not going anywhere.
I love it.
I got 2 points in that game.
Thanks, coach.
God almighty.
Yeah, third line in no time.
Might get 3 minutes next game.
I saw this was a meme, obviously a fake meme. Kevin Durant, it was a picture of him sitting on the bench. He said, in high school, I was on a team. We were playing in the state championship. And the other team was killing us. So, thankfully, at halftime, the coach and the other team had an extra jersey. We won by 40.
That's good.
So, of course, that's a shot at Kevin Durant and his move to the Golden State Warriors after getting beat in the Western Conference Finals. So, anyway, that is I do agree with you. We try really hard to consider – morality of decisions and what's best for kids. And that line is a tough place to be, because should they have the right to go play for, like, tomorrow, and this is the NFL, totally different, NBA, whatever, pro sports, Cam could go play for the other team tomorrow. He could trade him, or that we could release him, and he actually could go play for the other team tomorrow.
You put on waiver wire and get picked up?
Yeah, wherever, right? And you legitimately could be on a division rival the next day.
Baseball, there's many stories about guys getting traded for each other while their teams are playing. They switch clubs.
That just happened to Mike McKenna, a local boy. Mike McKenna, the goalie, just played in Ottawa. He's getting all his chances in Ottawa as a goalie. He gets traded to Vancouver, and they just played last night.
I think it was a shortstop who got traded in the middle of the game, and he was crying while he was playing the inning. This happened
I don't know
two
if I know
years
that
ago.
Story.
And, he's like, he had basically just said he's out there crying because he's been notified that he's been traded, but they catch him in the game, which is kind of a no-no. Typically, they take you out as soon as you've been traded, but there was something
if you start crying.
Yeah, that too.
See, that's what
it was
problem.
Either up on the video. Something happened, and he just had to finish out the inning, and he was, like, crying in the middle of the – so that there is that portion of it. Now, that's always dictated by the team, not the player, right? The player can't just say, I quit, I'm going to play for them. So it is different, and there's a lot of variables in there, It is difficult for me always to consider the difference between professionals and college kids, Because as a pro, you do have more rights, but how many of those rights shouldn't also be given?
And, you know, and because of the waiver situation that is becoming a little more open these days, and so I don't know the technical part of this, but I saw somebody in the media on Twitter mention that maybe not the best decision to leave in midseason because you end up losing actual playing time. Whereas if you transfer at the end of the year, you sit out a year, but you still have three more left. You don't lose actual time on the court.
Yeah.
Now, there are those who think, no big deal, I'm going to the league anyway after
right.
2 years. So it may not apply here, but it's just another way to kind of turn that Rubik's Cube,
yep.
and look at it and try and figure out what's the best decision.
Now, the earliest possible he can suit up for another team is January 1st, 2020, right?
Well, at the end of finals, wherever he goes, in December of next year. That's
yeah.
my understanding.
And the final, okay, so he can play, okay, so that the there's a game or two like right there before
when
the
semester is officially
okay.
over.
Yeah.
And that's where, so if games are being played in between, so you usually have your Christmas tournament or whatever you're doing in
mm-hmm.
between there.
Could be as many as five or six games.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's an interesting debate. All in all, I think our goal is all the same. Most of us, the goal is the same, what's best for the kid, and especially somebody who's been through that process.
I really go with what's best for me first,
yes.
then what's best for
I
the
liked
kid.
Calling his dunks, and that douchebag left.
Yeah.
So not
yep.
interested.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think
DJ's words, not yours.
Right? Yes, Cam would have a different perspective because he went through the pro level and didn't go through the college level. I went through the college level, not the pro level. So it is a little bit different. But as a kid who went through it, what would have been best for me during that time? Now looking back, knowing that was it, right? I'm done after these 4 years. So how can you maximize that for the kid? Because for most of us,
so yeah. So what would you were happy, right?
I was starting as a sophomore.
Yeah. So it was great.
And I played as a freshman.
So you wouldn't change anything, right?
No, my experience was great. What happens if...
And at least two of his iterations of the NCAA were overpowered.
Oh, dude, my speed was like 92.
He was way too good in the slot, yeah.
It was crazy.
He was returning punts
like they never,
for touchdowns. I was like, this isn't happening in real life. Come on now.
No, that never did happen.
He was so overpowered on the NCAA, so he had everything going for him those years.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So would it have been different? Would we have considered transferring if... We had four it's a crazy example and it would never happen, but say Denari Alexander and Jeremy Macklin and Doriel Green Beckham all came in the
same time.
Class behind me. Then what? I never saw
you might consider it.
Right? You got three pros. And you got three guys that should have been first round, and then your tight end's Chase Coffin and he comes in that same class. Say you had a class of five and they're your five best pass catchers and you have just gone from, well, he was starting for a year to, well, you're probably not gonna play at all, dude. You probably need to go. Like, do you consider transferring? I think that's fair.
It is fair. Absolutely.
And at this point, you're not really abandoning your teammates either. You know, so that there's always that line. I don't know what the
best. I think I hear in the locker room, who's TJ?
Right.
Yeah. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way up.
Yeah. Who used to be in that locker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know that kid.
I remember him.
Yeah. So so that is, you know, I think there's absolutely a place for transferring. When you got 4 years to go do it, that's it. You know, Cam.
It limits it. Yeah.
Yeah, if the game hadn't changed, Cam, it was just about just straight brawls, Cam could still be playing today.
God.
He could.
Yeah. Probably.
Like, Cam would have never left the league. Why? Because he could bang with the best of them forever. Yeah. If you don't have to go out there and really skate, and you don't have to really contribute as much and be a top guy.
It would have been like the game in the
Cam
70s.
Could brawl. Cam, right now, if you got him in shape, could brawl with the best of those guys out there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I just couldn't get the puck out of his zone.
Right, so
he would have never learned how to say
minor
more
problem.
Fun, though.
Minor problem.
Huh?
I don't think he ever would have learned how to say more fun instead of funner, though.
True.
I said funner again? Dang it.
I think at some point enough fights would have settled in that never would have gotten through to him.
Go ahead.
Just a couple other quick things. Stu Durando, the Post-Dispatch, mentioned, and anybody could do the math, but so the Bills next year will have six returning players. They've already signed four. That gives them three scholarships still available. So
for next year. So
for next season. So
anticipating transfers.
Anybody over 6'9", look out. Travis Ford and the coaches, assistant coaches, will probably be watching your games.
Yeah. Oof. Keep your phone on, too.
Now,
yeah.
Quick question. Do you think there's any chance that there's anybody on this roster who maybe kind of opens up their game because they start doing more four-out lineups?
Told me to go to break, and then he asked you a question.
Well,
that's
I want to ask this, so I want to get this in.
So,
just kidding.
So great question that we'll answer right after this.
No, go ahead. I was just making fun of him because he said, come on.
Let's take a break because I got hot food, too.
All right, boys. We will
We're 10 minutes late for a break.
Yeah, we were talking about fun stuff.
Yeah.
Rock, hang on to that question. Make sure we get into that. We're going to get more into Blues stuff because we interrupted our Blues talk. Also, you you guys are going to hear from Chris Kerber, who was on with
Kerbs.
The Hollywood Casino Press Box earlier today, and Frank Cusimano. So that is brought to you by Petromart. Make sure you stick around for that. That'll be at the end of the show. Also, we are at 909 Public House, boys and girls. So make sure you come on by. Check us out. This place is fantastic. The reason we're trying to get to break as soon as possible here, and I just keep talking, is because the food looks spectacular. Rock ate most of my tater tots already, so I'm going to have to order some more.
Son of a...
I know. Not a big fan of his. So anyway, we're going to get a break. We'll be back shortly. It's Hardline.